Father, we thank you so very much for just the privilege of being in this place this morning and to do what we've come to do here. Lord, we want to praise you. We want to worship you. We want to feel your spirit. And Lord, even as we were singing and Lord, reading and preparing our hearts for your word, Lord, it just dawned on me. Sometimes it's just really funny how that you have control over everything. No little thing can ever come that you don't know about. And Lord, you just kind of keep us pushed where we need to be pushed. And we praise you for that. We praise you that we serve a God that is not a weak God. It's not a out of touch God, but a God that has all things under his control. So Father, I pray that as we come to this place this morning and we open your word for every soul that's in this building this morning, for every issue that may seem to be unique to us and to us alone, for every little thing that takes time in our mind to try to figure it out and work it out, I pray that you might just encourage us, and I know that you will by these words. Father, we thank you for hope. We thank you for reliability. We thank you that you're there for us and that we never have to go scratch around and find the Spirit so that we can get to you. But Lord, you keep that kind of touch with us. We love you and we praise you. And so Father, I pray that in some strange kind of way to us that we would be able to open ourselves up to you right now, that we would be able just to lay it all down on the table, that Lord, whatever it is that is just binding us, whatever it is that's choking us, whatever it is that's taking our time and taking our thoughts and it's needling at us, I pray, Lord, that we might be able to at least lay it down in front of us so that we can deal with it this morning. We love you. We thank you. We thank you for your word, and we pray that you'll now speak to us through it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Okay, thank you, and you be seated. We are going to continue into the few Sundays before Christmas, and we started with the fourth Sunday before Christmas last week, and because it was the latter days of November, we really didn't even look, and it didn't dawn on some of us, hey, it's 4 weeks till Christmas. This week we're going to look at something that is always a joy to look at. And I don't know why we don't just dig into hope more than we do. There's a lot that we have been called to do by God here on this earth. None quite as important as getting hope to people that need to understand and experience what hope's all about. Hope realized. Hope that's not just a theme out there, but hope that is actually realized in our life. And I guess to start us on that track this morning, instead of taking hope as this broad idea, hope, according to the Bible, is really more confidence than it is anything else. It's a confident anticipation that everything turns out right. Even on the video, you saw that one of the things that was up there is that hope is knowing that it all turns out, knowing that it all turns out right. And I think we have had our share of poking fun at 2020, and most of us are glad that we're approaching those last days of 2020. And it is no secret that as we talk about hope, that maybe it is sort of an attitude or a feeling that has been in short supply these past days that we have experienced all these things in our life. If we take a section of time just by itself, sometimes it seems like there's not a lot of hope. Sometimes it seems like the world has lost its hope, seems pretty hopeless. And we have to admit that as we look over the last year, or maybe in your life, it's been the last few years, that a lot of problems, a lot of things have gone wrong. It really doesn't mean anything. It really just means that is that much more in our life that God is dealing with. So we followers have this wonderful, great, huge opportunity to take that attitude of, okay, 2020 hasn't been the best of years. Maybe a lot of people that we know have had problems. That just gives us so much more as followers, this huge chance to point out where hope can be found. That just opens it up for us. I mean, the worse that times are, the better it is for us to be able to get the word out to people that there is hope, that there is a hope out there, and to point to them where it can be found. Sometimes we feel like we're the lone voice for hope in our world. I guess sometimes we are, as the church of Jesus Christ, the followers of Jesus Christ, we maybe are the lone voice of true hope in our world. There are two sections of Scripture that I want to marry together here this morning. I don't know that I have done very many funerals that I didn't include John chapter 14. That's the first few verses that I want to read to you this morning. The reason we do it at funerals is because that is an ultimate time to remind people of hope. It's that time where people are coming and they're sad because something terrible has happened as far as our physical family, our physical life, and someone has passed away. But as we look in John chapter 14, minus the funeral, let's see if we can see it outside of the funeral context. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, or my Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? And this is where Jesus says in an answer, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So we see that the birth of Christ has happened. And here is Jesus talking to those that would listen to, especially his apostles, and he's explaining to them, look, I am going to leave. I am going to go to this place, but I'm not going there to leave you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. So he began during his whole ministry to tell us of everything that would happen, every part of why he came to earth, why the Son of God came to the earth. And we, at this point, and even at the point that we stand, we have seen all this happen. As a matter of fact, the same thing that the apostles have seen, we have also seen. As a matter of fact, we have had a lot more time to deal with this. And to the point to where some of us even get to a point to where, you know, we say, well, we have heard this year after year and decade after decade and century after century, and we yearn for that day that all of this is culminated in the return of Jesus Christ. And so we read in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9, sort of as a backup of this, 1 Peter chapter 1, 3 through 9. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, never spoil, never fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for Chip, for you. Every person that knows Jesus Christ as their Savior, this inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Get that again. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end results of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So what is this living hope that Jesus is talking about and Peter talks about? What is this living hope that we're really wanting to deal with this morning? Well, obviously, it's life eternal, the glorious privilege of living with our Creator. So in a way, we can kind of, as human beings that are followers of Christ and owners of this hope that is a living hope, we can actually say that today, whatever we brought into this place, this is as bad as it gets. This is as bad as it gets. It only gets better because of the hope that we have and the hope that the Lord has placed in us. Just imagine the day that we stand before God face to face forever. It really is almost inconceivable of what lies before us. No greater privilege has ever been imagined by human beings. A hope that is a weighted hope. A hope that we know is out in front of us. But hope is sort of a word that is, it's kind of like love. It's overused. I love steak. I love my wife. I love my dog. I love music. I love God. I hope it doesn't rain today. I hope that I don't get sick off of what I eat today. I hope that you will enjoy yourself as you're here today. I hope that when I do pass over that threshold, what will be waiting for me is that Jesus has talked about. So there's a way. Hope is one of those words that is, we've made it such a broad word that we have to bring it in and see what kind of hope is God talking about here. And the hope we're dealing with here is a finished hope. It's not an uncertain hope. It is not really, even when we say that word hope, it's not that kind of hoping that we use to stir up our spirit or stir up our attitude. It's not that positive thinking. We don't come here and say, all right, get your hope up, get your hope up. That's not exactly what we're talking about here. We're not talking about being able to manufacture this hope. We're talking about something that is done, something that is finished, a finished living hope. Not wishing, not really hoping at all. And the way that we say, I hope that this happens, I hope that that happens, it's not really even that kind of hope at all. I hope this works. But knowing this kind of hope that we're talking about that Jesus brings is a reliable, knowing kind of hope. It is a hope that the verses say is held by God. And between now and then, he knows the whole story. And if he knows the whole story, then it's in the bag. It's a done deal. And as we sit here today and as we kind of are pulled back and forth by the things that are going on in our life, we have to remember he's always in control. There is nothing that we face in any given day that he doesn't know about and he's not in control of. And I love that we have in these verses the reminder that we're going to go through these trials because James is that person that we all love or I keep pushing you on it. I keep pushing him on you if you don't love him. He is that person that just yells it out to us. Really, count it all joy when you go through trials and temptations. Not that fake, happy, smiley, happy day. I mean, no, it's not one of those days, okay, I'm going through a trial, so I'm going to play like I'm happy. But a day that we can count it joy because we have that hope that God is there for us. The great encouragement to us should be in these verses are one of the greatest encouragements for me is in these verses because we are reminded that Jesus refers to Peter here as a stone. In this context, Jesus has referred to Peter as a stone. Now, there are people that are in here right now, and you're going through issues in your life, or you have gone through issues in your life. You look back over your life. You look at what you think you are to Christ right now. You look at what you think your abilities are for Christ right now. You look at what you think your talents are, what you're able to do for Christ. And in here we see that at this point in time that Jesus is calling Peter a stone. And let me just speak a truth here. Because at the time, I don't want you to think that I'm sacrilegious here because there's a couple of things I want to say that might border on sacrilegious. And I want you to leave saying Chip said these two things. But one thing that is for sure, at this time, Peter was about anything but a stone. Peter was really kind of iffy because he was passionate, but sometimes he was way too passionate. Sometimes he had great intentions, but Peter was also the one that jumped the gun quite frequently. Peter was one of those that we look at and we thank God that he's in the Bible because some of us see some of those traits of Peter. And we say, you know what, I've got that trait of Peter. I jump in front of God sometimes. Or I think I'm really passionate until I understand the whole story, and then I'm not quite as passionate as I feel. And I'd like to say for the church in the world for 2021 and for LBC in 2021, God gave us a brain. God wants us to use our brain. He gave us an ability to figure things out that we have here. We are not to follow after confirmation bias. And I think somebody that has the right to say that might be standing up here because I have been disappointed at some of the people that I know that are leading churches that are in my estimation, they've gotten off the track because they've started leading in this sort of confirmation bias thing. And what I mean by that is what we're supposed to say, what we're supposed to think. And so we get these cliches and we start doing this religious thing to where we are nothing but cliches. And it becomes sort of that thing to where our hope seems to be manufactured. And it doesn't need to be that way. Hope is something that is down deep. Hope is something that is up shallow. Hope is something that God wants us immersed in. And he doesn't want us to say the religious cliches that sort of sometimes it kind of ruins it. I mean, when we are at the point to where we should be relying on God because of this great hope that's in us, we say something dumb, like some religious thing. Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. You know what he doesn't say? Getting close to sacrilegious here, Chip. Jesus is not the answer to everything. There was a little kid that took a friend of his to Sunday school, to kids' service. The little kid that he invited had never been to church before at all. He had gone to church all of his life, and he was the ripe old age of 7. And he had gone to church all of his life. And he asked his friend, he said, come along to church with me and you'll love it. Just follow me. I know how to do this. And so the teacher asked a question. And she was trying to get to a point. She was trying to lead into what she was saying. And she said, what is in the sea and swims? And a little church boy raises his hand and says, I know, I know. Yes. Jesus Christ. No. What is in the ocean and it swims and it has scales? Jesus Christ. No. What has fins and it does this? And it we eat it sometimes. Jesus Christ. And so finally the visitor raised his hand and he said, I know. A fish. Yeah, a fish. Sometimes we push it so much to where we want to give the cliché-ic answer that we miss what God is really wanting to do with us. So yeah, we're not that group of people or that person that needs to give religious attention or religious answers or religious responses. He's talking about Peter here being the stone. One moment Peter was ready to do anything. He's ready to fight for Jesus, ready to go to the ends of the earth for Jesus. And then there came that moment that we all know about Jesus where he turned to jelly when the servant girl just simply asked him, weren't you with him? And all of a sudden, Peter's not that strong man. Peter's not that courageous man. But yet the Lord called him a rock. This is encouragement to us because maybe right now you are like jelly. Maybe right now there are things that have happened in your life and are bearing down on your life and you feel very hopeless and helpless and weak. And yet God knows us, maybe as he knows Peter, as a rock. Because Jesus knew the rest of the biography of Peter. He knew the part that was yet unwritten. And he does with us. He sees our entire lifeline. He sees everything that we are going to be. He knows everything, every part of us. When he saw Peter, he knew him as a man who could and would stand in the face of anything. So let me just pose that question. The most important thing, I guess, that we can pose to ourselves. Who does God know us to be? Who does God know Chip Morgan to be? I don't know. I mean, I don't have the privilege of having any written down statements of God where he thinks I'm this or that. I don't know. But think about it. What does God know you to be? Now, that's scary in a way, and then it's kind of lifting in another way. Because when we want to put ourselves down and say that we're weak, why? Because God knows you as a much more courageous person. God knows you as a much more successful person. God knows you as a much stronger person. But then, when we try to hide from God and play like we're something that we're not, there's that faction of it too. So who does God know us to be? The Lord doesn't see me as I see me. The Lord does not see, I can tell you this right now, the Lord does not see you as you see you. The Lord doesn't see me the way that my wife sees me. You've never met my mom, but the Lord doesn't even see me like my mom sees me. And that's pretty good. But the way that the Lord looks at me, the way that the Lord knows me, the Lord knows who I am. He knows when I was formed. The Bible says he knew me before I was formed. He says he knows every hair. He is aware of every footstep. And so there's nothing that God doesn't know about me. And so that's why I come to you sometimes and I say, you know, it's hard for us to understand prayer because when we say these words that come out of our mouth, God knows what those words are. God knows what's in our heart, and yet we are told to pray. And so we have to come to a conclusion that God wants a dialogue between us. He doesn't want us just to come and tell him what he already knows. He wants us to know what he knows. I think it's more of a opening up for us than it is a session for God to know anything more. The Lord knows us. Eternal life is a reality. It's as real as the world as we live in. It is not what It is not that we have eternal life on lay-by. Those of you that are here this morning who have accepted Christ as your Savior and you know that eternity awaits you, you know that you can identify with the Bible where it says we will not taste of death. You know all that. But where we get it wrong sometimes is that's on sort of lay-by. That's on hold. That's something that we will get one day. It's not that we have eternal life that's there for us one day. We have eternal life now. It has begun now. And so there's this great encouragement that we should have of understanding that we already have eternal life. We're just warming up right now. We're getting ready for what eternal life really means. It's very hard for us to understand the whole concept of hope and eternal life and eternal hope, because everything around us is dying. We live on an earth where we look around and everything is getting old, or everything is wearing out, or everything is going toward decay. How is it that God gives us living hope of eternal life in all of that? Well, our hope comes by new birth. There's actually no hope for eternal life unless a person is born again. We know that. Born again by the Spirit of God. We are actually living, or we dwell in a dying shell. Until life is born within us and something is found in God's redemption for our separation. We are separated from God until that day inside that dying shell, God brings new life to us, and that new life is that second birth that we deal with, that we know about. This hope came to us by what we celebrate in this season and what we celebrate during Easter. Now, we that inhabit the church on any given Sunday have a tendency to, when it gets these seasons of the year, I don't want to put anything on this that's not do it. Maybe snarky's not the word, or ill-meaning. But sometimes we call people creasters. And what a creaster is a person that comes to church on Christmas and on Easter. And we sort of make fun of that. That, okay, this person, they're here for Christmas. We'll see them again for Easter. Or they're here for Easter. We'll see them again for Christmas. It's okay for us to kind of laugh about that and smile about that. But you know what? I've known quite a few people that for a long time, that's all they did was come to church on Christmas, come to church on Easter. Until that seed was planted, that got planted, because those are the two most important things that we can talk about, is the giving of Jesus Christ as our hope and the working of the hope that's found in what we celebrate in Easter. So it's one of those things to where we don't even have to wonder about it. It turns into the Lord being able to nourish that and to grow that seed up into something that is different, and so it becomes something that will turn into the hope of eternity. First, God has proven that He and He alone has the authority and power to send His Son to die for us, to be risen for us, and to beat sin and to beat death for us. God is the only one with the authority and power to send Jesus Christ and to raise Him from the dead. Secondly, that fact only proves that Jesus Christ is exactly who He claimed to be to humanity. We look back in our history. We can find it on the History Channel of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because there were hundreds of people that saw Him after He was resurrected. And so those witnesses, those that gave testimony, started an evangelism that has gone from then until this day that we find ourselves in. Our Redeemer. God is perfection. God is perfection. Jesus has been given to us to cloak us, to perfect us, to make us what we need to be to have a relationship with God. So this morning, God doesn't need to straighten you up. God doesn't need you to straighten yourself up to come to Him, and He doesn't need to straighten you up when that's not the whole purpose. The purpose is the relationship. He just needs us to be His. And thirdly, we can't possibly explain eternity. We can't explain it. We can't grasp it. We can't understand it, because everything that we know wears out. These verses tell us this inheritance that we're talking about tells us, 1 Peter tells us that this inheritance is kept. It's kept safe in heaven, reserved there for us, literally held there for us by God. And so what God is doing is He's finishing His work in us here and now, and then we're to go to Him, we're to come to Him where He is, He says in John chapter 14, so where I am, there you may be also, and He will give us our inheritance. And so the crucial point that we look at here is that the people who are able to receive this are those who have accepted by faith the mercy and the grace of God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says this. You know it. Now, faith is the reality of what is hoped for, the proof of what is not seen. We read that so many times and we let those words confuse us. If we just replace hope for 100% belief and 100% counted on, 100% sure of. Now, faith is the reality of what is counted on, of what is 100% sure of what is 100% believed. It is the proof of those things that we have not yet seen. But how do we know that it still works? Because it's been a long, long time since these words have been spoken and these words have been written and been copied and given over to us in these new, nice, beautiful Bibles that we have today. It's 2020, soon to be 2021. 2 Peter chapter 2, chapter 3, verse 8 is that, I guess we use it as a cliche. It's one of those phrases that we know. With the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. It still works. Because God is not on the same timeline that we're on. As far as God is concerned, He's still fresh into this. And where it seems like forever to us, and we question, does this still work? Yes, it still works. God protects it. And He protects us throughout the long journey of life that we have. Now listen to this. He protects us and He keeps us through all the most questionable circumstances that we live through, all the trials that we go through. The most important thing is not that we always succeed here. The most important thing is that we are already redeemed. And so if we do slip and fall, if we do mess up, if we do get to a point to where it seems like we have lost that faith or that courage that we need to have, if we, like Peter, go through a time in our life where it's a very trying time and it's not our best look, we still look and know we're redeemed. We're bought. It's done. He's already finished it. So much of our time right now, hear this, so much of our time right now is spent defining and even avoiding the inevitable. Because as much as God knows us, He has placed us in a setting. He has placed us in a circumstance, a context. And He has even told us, look, I want you to know that I make it rain on the just and the unjust. I make it storm on the just and the unjust. I give blessings to the just and the unjust. And so we don't quite understand this thing that we're living through called life. And the big secret of it all is this for us Christians. we will have trials. And if we ever become a church and we want to form a prayer group to convince God to not let us have trials, I can tell you, we just will not do that. Because the secret is we will have trials. A lot. A bunch. But a true God faith is a steadfast, continuing faith. Yeah. That steadfast faith is also diligent and vigilant. It's a faith that simply loves Christ with all we have. So I want to picture this with you, okay? I don't know if this will do anybody any good, but just put one hand out in front of you there, or maybe two hands. Maybe you need two hands to hold yours. And think about this past year. Think about the worst thing that has happened to you this past year. I'm talking about that sickness, that health problem, that illness, that thing it seems like it's keeping you down. It seems like it's scaring you to death. Just put that right there. Just right there in front of you. Just place that in your hand. Say, Chip, I can't do that. You know what I'm talking about. See it there. Put it there. How about that person that has pestered you and bothered you so much this past year that it's been just ridiculous? Put that person there. We've gone through COVID, and a lot of people have entered into very curious times where the money is not quite there like it has been in years before. So there's some financial issues. There's some worry. There's some issues that we spend a lot of time letting it just suck the courage out of us. Just put that there, the financial situation. This hadn't been the best year for some marriages because it's been a difficult year. There have been a lot of things that have been coming from every side. And so the people that hurts the most are the closest relationships. So mother against daughter, mother against son, father against mother, all those relational problems, even your marriage relationship. It's like, Lord, this year has not been the greatest of years. Put that right there. And anything else that has held you down, only you know about it. I don't. I mean, I'm talking about that thing that you would gladly just chunk out that window if you could chunk it out. That's the things that God wants us to know. I'm in control. I know about them. I know about every one of those things that you could place on the seat in front of you, and the hands in front of you. I know about everything that you're going through. I know about every trial in your life. I know about every temptation that has come your way. I know about every negative thing that's there. And I also know about the positive things. I know about how you've dealt with some of these issues. I'm proud of you. I know about how some of these things could kill anybody else, half of your strength. But you've dealt with them. And you've gone through it. And you've made it. Maybe not out of it yet, but you're making it. There are people that you're still praying for. There are things in your life you're still praying for. God wants us to know, I know all about it. I knew all about it before you knew it was coming. Person who has this kind of faith that we're talking about has the absolute assurance of the living hope of God. Not only that they receive eternal life, not only that they receive the promise of the inheritance, but they are always accompanied by God through the Holy Spirit, by what Jesus Christ did. So in everything that's going on in our lives, everything that we could let get us down, everything that could suck all the energy out of us, God is saying, don't let it do that to you. Take courage, because I am this living hope. I am the hope that you can always be encouraged by. I'm the promise of what you have awaiting you. So what's most important to us? Is the most important thing to us to control as many little things in life as we can so that we can make this life a little bit more comfortable and a little bit more suitable for us? We usually have a problem juggling that because we don't like pain. We don't like discomfort. But the other alternative is this. Let God have it. Let God have us. And say to God, God, look, I understand it through your word that in serving you, you have me. You know me. You protect me. You have me in that cloak of perfection so that I can be presented to God. But you also have me in that cloak of protection so that I am available to be presented to God. And so the great hope that we're talking about is this. We don't have to figure it out. We don't have to make life suitable for ourselves. We don't have to come up with the right cliches. All we have to do is to let God have us. And so if you're here this morning and you have never allowed God to have you, the way that God gets us is through Jesus Christ. The only way. He is the way. The only way that God has a relationship with us is through Jesus Christ. There will never be another way that is ever presented. You hear about somebody meeting out in some field somewhere saying that they've come up with a new way to get to God. Never believe it. You say, Chip, you don't need to say that to us. Yeah, we do. I'm telling you. There are some people that I know that are in cults right now that I would have never thought would have believed some of the stupid that they believe at this point. Never, never, never will there be any other way but Jesus Christ. So it's this. If you've never accepted Christ so that you can have a relationship with God, so God can have you, fight to accept Christ before you leave here this morning. We're going to have lunch in just a few minutes so we can chat, we can talk. Have a chat about how you can accept Christ before you leave today. And for those of us that are longtime Christians, we forget how to re-give ourselves to the Lord. Yeah, we're the Lord's, but we kind of sit over in a corner and we act like we're not the Lord's. So it would be good for us as Christians in those problems that we're dealing with, in those pains that we're dealing with, to remember, you know what? All I have to do is give myself to God. And God knows all about it. God knows what He's doing. God knows how it turns out. He knows every aspect of it. So I don't really need to come to God with a written plan for Him to do something else. So let's give it to God. In every way that we can, let's give it to God. Father, I thank you so very much for your love. I thank you for all that you are to us. Lord, we want to give you everything about us. We want you to have every single part of us. And so, Lord, whether it is giving us to you anew, giving ourselves to you as a new Christian, as a new believer, or as a long-time believer, just coming back to that place to where we reassess ourselves and re-understand that by giving ourselves wholly to you, we are in the safest place that we can be. We love you and we thank you for your encouragement. We thank you for your hope. And thank you that we can live in the middle of this living hope. We love you and thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.